2 Timothy chapter 3, this is our sixth week in this passage, so you probably have it memorized by now. Kind of a tough passage to memorize, though, right? Scary passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Lord, I ask as we once again look at this portion of your word that you would make us aware of the days in which we live. And Lord, you've called us to go against the flow, directly against the flow of culture and society. And we need strength and power and wisdom and courage. We need your spirit to do that. So help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at our verses. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away." So we've been studying these characteristics, and we've learned that the last day society will be a godless society. It will be a narcissistic society. It will be a society without family love, the way the Bible defines family. It will be a greedy society. It will be a hedonistic society, as we studied last week. And you take all of those characteristics together, and I believe that indicates that we are, in fact, living in the last days. There are still four characteristics on the list that we haven't covered yet, which we're going to cover this morning. And for me, this closes the case as to whether or not we're in the last days or not. The first one is found in verse 3. In the last days, perilous times will come. People will be unloving. People will be unforgiving. Mainstream society in general during the last days on planet Earth will be comprised of people who are unforgiving. Now, when I looked in to this word, it really blew me away as to what it actually means and how it so clearly describes society today. This is the Greek word aspandos. Aspande. A, as you know, means without. Spande is an old Greek word that means libation or drink offering. Without drink offering. Okay, what does that mean? Well, in ancient times, when people who were at odds with one another reconciled, they signified that with a libation, with a drink offering. In ancient times, people would bring libation or drink offerings to a god, hoping to achieve reconciliation. In the last day society, there won't be that type of reconciliation. Many, many people will be unable and unwilling to reconcile, to forgive. The word speaks of people at war with one another, hating one another, heels dug in, there can be no consensus, no reconciliation. Implacable, irreconcilable, people at war. That's the last day society. And I can't think of a better word to describe our country right now. The United States of America is so divided right now. And I want to talk about our division, and I'd like you to think about the division in the United States of America from outside of America looking in. Give it an objective view. We are divided politically like never before. We've reached a situation in this country where it's irreconcilable. There can be no consensus. You know, it's Republican versus Democrat, liberal versus conservative, right versus left, red state versus blue state, Trump supporter versus Biden supporter. And everyone is dug in. And there isn't going to be any, they're not agreeing. And there's intense ugliness and hatred on both sides. There was a time when we could disagree with one another politically and still be friends. In many ways, that is gone. The political situation has destroyed families. There are parents and children that no longer speak. There are Christians that no longer speak to one another. There are good friendships that have just been completely destroyed over a political division and hatred, irreconcilable. That word, aspondus, perfectly describes that. The racial division in the United States of America has reached a place that I've never seen in my 53 years of life. Forces at work are dividing us. There are unseen forces at work that are dividing us by race in this country. And it's ugly and it's bitter. I mean, we're fighting over which lives matter. A mass shooting takes place, and instead of being appalled at the tragic loss of human life, there are folks that very quickly want to find out the race of the shooter and the race of the victims to push a narrative. And people are dug in. And there are people being called racist in this country just because they don't support an organization or an ideology. And people who are targeted as racists in this country, they're targeted. Their businesses, their reputations, everything. And it's a dug in no way for consensus. We're even in a point where somebody can find something that you said 25 years ago. Or find a picture that was taken of you 25 years ago. And pull that out and destroy your life. I'm very uncomfortable with that. I was very different 25, 30 years ago, weren't you? Have you ever said anything that you regretted? Have you ever changed opinions on things in 25 or 30 years? But there is this hateful war, ugliness. I don't know how we come together. There's extreme hatred and animosity between people depending on stances with COVID-19. You know, you have the militant mask wearers and enforcers against the militant non-mask wearers. And there's militancy on both sides of that issue, folks. There's very little consensus. Nobody's going to meet anybody in the middle on that. And the side that's no mask, a lot of times they don't come across as being very compassionate. I mean, can you meet in the middle? And then, you know, we talk about science. What do you, science? Everyone has their own science. You can find your scientific study to justify your view. You know, science used to be objective. You cold, hard numbers, facts, where do they lead? And wherever they lead, that's how you react. But everyone has their own science. How do you get two people to come together on something when they have their own science? Each one. Absolute bitter division. Hatred among people. And I've spoken about this a lot during this series, but I have to speak about it again, this place of social media in this country that I think just absolutely propagates so much. So much division and hatred is being vented and propagated on social media platforms like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I've seen some of the ugliest fights over posts on Facebook. Family members ripping each other to shreds. I mean, it's given a voice for these extreme views on both sides, and there being no ability to find reconciliation. We're irreconcilable. Man, I liked Facebook when it was just, you know, you posted pictures of your kids. You remember that? Anniversaries, birthday parties. I used to love to catch up with old friends. Now it's become a place for political rant. See who can one-up the other. Division. And let me tell you, our nation cannot survive. The United States of America will not survive like this. The Pledge of Allegiance says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Are we a nation under God? Are we really a nation indivisible? Jesus said this in Matthew 12, every kingdom without exception, divided against itself, is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself, without exception, will not stand. We can't continue like this. And I would ask you to consider this. Do you believe that there's an unseen enemy working behind the scenes to divide this country? What might a world look like with a destroyed United States of America? What might a world look like? What would the invisible enemy want to do on a global scale without an America? The Bible says in the last days, we rush full steam ahead into a one-world government, a one-world economy, and a one-world religion. A destroyed United States of America. Is America the last domino to fall? Is it? Is it the last domino to fall? We're destroying ourselves. Look at another word on our list today, also found in verse 3. In the last days, people will be unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. People will be slanderers in the last day society. This is the Greek word diabolos. What's that mean? Devil. There'll be a lot of devils in the last day society. It's a word that means to accuse falsely. The devil in Revelation 12 is called the accuser of the brethren, the slanderer. In the last day society, People will hate each other so much, and there'll be such an unforgiving spirit among people that they'll slander one another. Slander, that's ugly. That's making up junk. That's literally making up bad news about, false news about people and then spreading it. Spreading lies about people. You know that old adage, lies go around the truth, lies go around the world while the truth is still tying up its shoes? That is so true today, isn't it? Again, with all the social media and all the different ways that information can go out, and I'll tell you, false information can spread so quickly. I was listening to a podcast this week, and many news departments, you know, if we can still call them news departments, many so-called news departments hire full-time people, man, to vet media, to vet videos, images, audio, because there's so many false videos and audio and pictures. You know, videos are being used in current events that were actually taken years before. Gang, videos are being doctored. There's something called deep fake industry. Images are being doctored. Audio files, you remove certain words out of the interview and put them together. Dice, put back together. You can make anybody look like somebody that they're not in the United States of America with current technology. Who do we believe? Who do you believe? Which news source do you believe? Do you believe everything you hear about someone on the internet? I sure hope not. And it's a vicious thing. Slandering, falsely accusing someone is vicious. It's hatred. It's the murder of a reputation. And in many cases, it leads to great tragedy. This story has always just hurt me deep inside. True story. They were a happy little family living in a small town in North Dakota, even though the young mother had not been entirely well since the birth of her second baby. But each evening, the neighbors were aware of a warmth in their hearts when they would see the husband and father being met at the gate by his wife and two small children. There was laughter in the evening, too, and when the weather was nice, father and children would romp together on the back lawn while mother looked on with happy smiles. Then one day, a village gossip started a story saying that he was being unfaithful to his wife, a story entirely without foundation. But eventually it came to the ears of the young wife, and it was more than she could bear. Reason left its throne. And that night when her husband came home, there was no one to meet him at the gate, no laughter in the house, no fragrant aroma coming from the kitchen, only coldness and something that chilled his heart with fear. And down in the basement, he found the three of them hanging from a beam. Sick and in despair, the young mother had first taken the lives of her two children and then her own. In the days that followed, the truth of what happened came out. A gossip's tongue, an untrue story, a terrible tragedy. You want to run around making up lies about people? It hurts people. It can lead to tragedy like you've never dreamed of. The last day society will be filled with a bunch of slanderers spreading false news. So many stories of young people taking their lives, being victims of slanderous news spread on social media by cyberbullies. We certainly live in a time and age where slander is pretty easy to do. You can do it real easily today, even by sharing a post that you've never even researched, but you say it's true. There's another word right there in verse 3. People will be unliving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal. People will be brutal. The last day society will be a savage society. It's a word that means cruel, fierce, untamed, the opposite of civilized. It's a word that speaks of violence. Senseless violence in the last day society. Crime is up, rape is up, murder is up, theft is up. There's a cold-heartedness in many people today. And of course, with the technology, we can see it all online. And I'll never forget the video that came out last year, some young punk walking down the street, and an elderly lady's walking the other direction, and he just gave her a little bump, and she fell over and went headfirst into a fire hydrant. And the little punk just walked away laughing. There's things like that happening. Two mass shootings this last week. A young girl on spring break last week, drugged, raped, left for dead in a hotel room by two men. This morning it's breaking that an Uber Eats driver was murdered in cold blood by two teenage girls. Brutal, vicious. Jesus said this of the last days in Matthew 24. He said, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Love in people's hearts, gone. Heartless. Brutal. One final characteristic there in verse 4, right at the beginning. In the last days, perilous times will come because men will be, verse 4, traitors. Traitors. Betrayers. Snitches, betraying close family members. You know, I've been horrified by a lot of things over the last year. I've seen a lot of government overreach, in my opinion, but there were state governments that were incentivizing ratting out your neighbor. Remember that? You see your neighbor having a little get-together. Well, you call the government authorities on that neighbor. You see a business doing things a little differently. Well, you better call the police on that business. What's that? You know, it's interesting. This word traitor is only used two other places in the New Testament. It's used here and then two other places. It's used in Luke 6 to describe Judas, who betrayed Jesus, right? And it's also used by Stephen in his fiery sermon that he preached in Acts chapter 7. And listen to how he wraps up that sermon. I'm just going to read it to you. Speaking to the religious leaders that killed Jesus, he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers, the traitors, and the murderers. This speaks of treachery against Jesus. Betraying Jesus. And I would say it's going to move to betraying believers in Jesus. Snitching on believers in Jesus. For Jesus did predict in Matthew 24 to believers, they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Many will be offended, many will betray one another, and will hate one another in the last days. Jesus gave his disciples a heads up in Matthew chapter 10. He said, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. A pervasive anti-Christian sentiment will result in non-believing family members betraying believing family members in the last day society. I don't know. A lot of this seems so prevalent to me. Years ago, I would never dream of things like this happening. But right now, I believe we are living in a godless society, a narcissistic society, a society without family love, a greedy society, a hedonistic society, and yes, a bitterly hateful society. Divided society. So, we're Christians. We're born again Christians. God has placed us in this time. We're to be different, aren't we? We're to be the pushback. We're the salt. We're the light. As Christians, we are to love God and we're to love people. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is your first and great commandment, love God. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We're to love people, not hate people. Jesus even commanded us in Matthew chapter 5, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to hate back. We're not supposed to slander back. We're supposed to pray for people. Bless people, our enemies. As Christians, we are to be men and women of forgiveness. We're to forgive. We're to look for reconciliation. We're to look for consensus. Remember in Matthew 18 when Peter said to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Peter probably thought he was real cool. Seven times I'll forgive the same guy? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. What's Jesus saying? Forgive people indefinitely, not 490 times. If you're counting and you get to 491 and you say, that's it for you, buddy, then you need to be locked up. There's something wrong with you. We're to forgive people. But they make me so mad. They're so wrong. You're to forgive people. You're the Christian. You're the bigger man or woman. And how do we do that? Well, I'll tell you how we do that. We remember how much Christ has forgiven us and how much Christ loves us. and how much Christ loves those very people that we have a hard time with, and how much Christ wants to forgive them. We're to have a spirit of forgiveness. We're also to be gentle with people. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men." Now, this is to all of us as Christians. Listen. Let your gentleness be known to all men. You should be known for a spirit of gentleness. That Greek word for gentle is very hard to put into the English language. William Barclay called it the most untranslatable of all Greek words, this word for gentleness. But there's different meanings to it. The idea is that it means soft. You're to be soft, kind, courteous, respectful. Even in your disagreements with people. I am on social media. I don't post, but I do like to observe. And I have read a lot of ugly comments by Christians that, quite frankly, is embarrassing and does not help the cause of the Christian gospel. In fact, we've been emailed at this church. People have called this church, talking about members of the church that have gotten a little bit too heated on social media, and then sent me the link. And you know what? Some of you are embarrassing yourself. That's not the Christian way. I don't care how heated you get. You don't call somebody an idiot and start using ugly language towards people. We're to be gentle. Avoid the long drawn out. Avoid it. People are dug in. What are you going to do? Respectfully give your opinion, then move on. And do everything you can to get the conversation to a conversation about Christ and what he's done for you and the gospel. This is a word that also means sweet reasonableness. I like that. Be gentle with all. Be sweetly reasonable with all people. One commentator translated the verse, "Let all the world know that you will meet a man halfway." Wow. You can't be in my way or the highway. And I think there are a lot of issues that maybe we could find consensus. Now, of course, there are issues where there is absolutely no compromise, right? And you stay true. But you do it with love and with tactfulness and with respect. Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 4, and I think this is so important, he told us that we are to be those who know how to speak the truth in love. Perfect balance there. Speak the truth in love. Some of us are really good at speaking the truth, but maybe we don't do it in love. And so we come across as being very hateful and judgmental, and that doesn't do anybody any favors. Then some of us speak in love, but no truth. We speak falsehoods in love, or we let falsehoods continue and propagate in love. You don't really love people when you don't tell them the truth. And so here we are as Christians walking the tightrope. I'm going to speak truth, and I'm going to speak it in love. And we desperately need the help of the Holy Spirit to do that, don't we? Why have we taken so much time to study these characteristics and this passage? Because we need to know the days in which we live, and we need to know the realistic challenges that we are faced with as Christians living in 2021 America. And we need to be ready for things to get more difficult, more serious, more stakes, harder. And living in these days, we need to be committed Christians, folks. We need to be men and women of God who are reading our Bibles, who are praying, who are spending time together getting support. We need to be relying upon the Holy Spirit to give us that ability to handle these issues with love and truth. We need courage. We got to get off the fence. We got to stop playing games. We need supernatural Christians walking around on planet Earth right now. Christians that are empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. And you know why we need? Because there's still a lot of people that want to, that are going to get saved. There are still a lot of people in our lives, in your family, in your workplace, in our community, that they need to hear the gospel of Christ. And they will get saved in and through your life as you share. Don't be known for what your political stance is on global climate. Or whatever, fill in the blank. Be known as that man of God, that woman of God that loves God and loves people and will share the gospel with others. Yes, you have opinion, but you've learned how to share your opinion. And you've learned how to quickly move the conversation to that which matters the most. Our goal should be to love people into the kingdom of God. Amen. In a hateful society, let's be the loving society that God has called us to be in the church. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, there are no formulas. There are no methods. There are no flowcharts for us to follow as we encounter these different issues in life, with close friends, with family members, with co-workers, within our social media presence. And so we desperately need your Spirit to lead us on a case-by-case basis as we interact with people. And I pray that you would prepare your people. I pray that our hunger for your word would grow. We'd spend time in your word. Pray that we would be dependent upon your Spirit day by day. Lord, we marvel at your ability to speak just the right words at the right time in heated moments. And I pray as your people, you'd give us that ability by your Spirit. Bless my brothers and sisters in Christ. Strengthen them. Strengthen us for these days. And again, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, maybe you're listening at home. Listen, we are in the last days. If you're not right with Jesus, you need to get right with him now. You need to make sure you are on his team, in his family. Things are winding up, man. In order to get right with God, you must have your sins forgiven. All of them, every sin, has to be forgiven. It has to be washed away. You have to be considered perfect. And the only way that can happen is for you to place your faith in Christ Jesus, who died for every one of your sins. He paid the price for you. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He left heaven, came to earth, died for you, died for me, rose again that third day, and he's alive. And he will wash all your sins away. You become a child of God, a member of his kingdom. When you take that moment and you surrender your life, you place your faith in him. You ask him to save you by faith. If that's you, don't wait. Don't put that off. Just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I bow before you. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Right now, I place my faith in you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I admit my sinfulness. Thank you for taking my place, suffering in my stead. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my days and be a good witness for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. We will be up here to receive you here in the front if you pray to receive Christ. We'd love